The lovely.
Yeah, it's a lovely song from the Horned Lark. We think about larks as having these beautiful songs, kind of like thrushes. And sure enough, our horned larks are singing right now, and it's a beautiful thing to hear.
You are listening to the Season Watch Pod. That's Charlie Mitchell. I'm Heidi Holton. And we are, boy, just wanting spring and the birds. And we learned a lot about it this week with Pam Perry, and we're going to hear from her on this episode. But one thing that stuck with me with Pam was talking about when there's south winds, the birds are moving.
Yes, they'll take the easy way. Yep.
Sure.
Follow that south wind north and
What?
can't blame them. If the current's with you, might as well make some distance.
Yeah, it's making me think of clicking together different parts of my life at the moment. One of my favorite books is Willa Cather's book called Song of the Lark.
Oh.
And it's about a young woman in, I think, Nebraska. That's usually where her books were set. The plains, maybe not Nebraska. And she has a beautiful voice. And she ends up going to Chicago to get trained to be an opera singer. And it's a lovely, lovely story. Kind of one of her maybe lesser known books, you know, than Maya Antonia and all those things. But there's probably talking about the bird in it. I just wasn't paying attention. I bet you.
I mean, that would make sense. They're prairie birds. You find them mostly on the western edge of the state, so I'm sure they're all over the Dakotas. One of my favorite books growing up was The Trumpet of the Swan,
Oh yes, E.B.
which the
White.
trumpeter swans always make me think of.
Yeah. And now I want to read both those books again.
Right?
Writing it down.
Yeah.
Curious about how all these things start tying together. I love it. Well, it's because we get inspired each week on Season Watch, not just by our very own John Latimer, but all the little voices that we get to hear.
Indeed.
This is Leah,
Caitlin,
and Maya reporting from Little Falls Middle School. This is our phonology report for the week of February 22nd.
On February 13th, we heard a cardinal singing loudly in the morning. It won't be long before there is a chorus of birds each day before school.
We also had our first sighting of a red-tailed hawk on the 13th.
A classmate has a trail camera set up near a deer carcass. We have been able to see up to six bald eagles at a time feeding on it and can see how their feathers change during each phase of life. We have also seen a coyote approach the area.
In the woods, we have heard the calls of pileated woodpecker, and they are entering into mating season.
Cadets observed a male cardinal giving a seed to a female this week. He has never seen this before and assumes it's part of the courtship display.
The gray squirrels have become more active and aggressive, and males are chasing each other around our yards. We also have noticed the squirrel nests, or drays, that are up in the trees.
We had a live yellow woolly bear caterpillar found outside, and also a small webby-looking cocoon in a fir tree.
There are large and noisy groups of crows flying around, especially around dawn and dusk.
There have also been small and noisy groups of trumpeter swans flying overhead.
First sign of spring are the branches of the red osier dogwood, as they're a bright red color this time of year.
When people are driving around in the late afternoon and evening, they are reporting seeing large herds of deer outside in the fields.
We did get a report of a black-backed woodpecker in the area. This is a very rare sighting. Mr. Caddis has only seen one in his life. This is our report for this week.
Until next week,
keep exploring,
keep discovering,
and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
Great job, Little Falls, as usual.
Yeah. As always, check out their Instagram feed. It's always fun to see what they are seeing and the drawings of Mr. Caddits on the chalkboard.
Yep. It's a little underscore falls underscore phonology. Go find them and check it out. They're pretty incredible. But yeah, what a jam-packed report. It's definitely coming to spring if they're, you know,
Yeah.
seeing that much. And the dogwood's turning color, a black-backed woodpecker, which is something I've never seen in the wild yet.
I was up in Ely last weekend at a camp and was walking back through the woods and kept hearing the woodpeckers and stopped and just looked at for them. Couldn't quite find it, but just sat there and listened and was thinking about, I know a little more about this because we were talking about cavities and, you know, I mean, I certainly most people know what that sound is, but I just felt a little bit more connected. It was gorgeous. Sight, no matter if I hadn't even paid attention to the woodpecker, but it brought it out even more.
Yeah, there's always comfort in the familiar, and there's a difference between a like familiar sound of like
you know, the woodpeckers tap, tap, tapping or drumming. Once you start getting to know them better, it's the familiar sound of a friend. Or like, there's not only the sound that's familiar, you're also like, can see the bird that's behind it. Even if you can't see the bird, you know it's there. And that just brings you a little warm fuzzy, or me a warm fuzzy.
Yeah, you have a relationship, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Here we are. See, we're so lucky we have a relationship with Pam Perry, and we get to
Yes.
talk to her once a month. This month, twice a month, because I just couldn't bear to not talk to her more. This is her time of the year, and next month will be for sure. But we had her on with Carol Henderson a couple weeks ago because she was on that crew that made the Trumpeter Swans, that brought those eggs back on the plane to make sure that the Trumpeter Swans were in Minnesota. But we didn't get to talk to her about what she was seeing. So we've got a couple of parts of our conversation with Pam next.
The other thing in that Little Falls report, Chad Kaditz's class, which I just
Yeah.
love, they talked about cardinals singing
Yes.
and passing food. Now, I haven't seen them pass food this year, but I've seen that many times because I have cardinals here all the time now. Yeah, and it's very, and they're singing. They're singing here in Brainerd. So it really makes it wonderful to get outside and hear that cheer, 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 you know, and it just goes on. They also mentioned a black-backed woodpecker that Chad
Yeah.
had seen, and that's a northern species.
Right.
So seeing one in Morrison County is a big deal. And I've seen them quite a number of times, but going north, I've seen them up in north of Grand Marais. I've seen them at Saxim. I've seen, and then there was one that was in the Brainerd area some years ago. And I went out with a group of three others to look for it. And I thought, I'm going to go over to this side and look for it. And I don't know, this looks, you know, I left the group. Well, they all saw it, and I never did. So you don't know. Birding is such a, you never know. You
And
just never know.
you no doubt have heard me tell the story of the neophyte birder that wanted to come with me on the Christmas bird count, and we're walking through the spruce stand, and he goes, oh, there's a bird over here.
There's a
And I
bird over
walked
there.
over, and it was a black-backed. It was like,
Yeah,
oh my
yeah.
goodness.
Yeah. So, you know, and they're interesting. And for people who don't know what they look like, the black back, probably the size of a hairy woodpecker, and it's darker, but it's got yellow on it, yellow on the head rather than red. And yes, they're in lowland conifer areas, but I've also seen them in upland areas. It all, you know, but mostly further north.
I had one along the shore of Lake Wabana, which is mesic hardwood, birch, maple, that kind of thing. Oh, way out of area. It flew by and I was like, wow, wait a minute. That's a black-backed. And it
That's
landed and I got a good look and then I knew. And that was out of territory. But I suspect, you know, those guys don't know what territory is. They're just looking for food.
they are just looking for food, and they'll go wherever and explore areas too, primarily in their main habitat, but they're also outside of that. And speaking of different woodpeckers, on Sunday, a friend came up to me and he said he had seen a different woodpecker. And it had a dark head, and there was a lot of black and white. And he's a hunter, so he's a good observer. And it was at his feeders, and he lives south of me in southern Crow Wing County. And so I pulled up a picture of a juvenile, an immature red-headed woodpecker. I said, did it look like this? He says, yeah,
Yeah.
that's what it was. And what was really interesting about that, because we have red-headed woodpeckers in Crow Wing County, because we have oaks, we have some open areas, but that it was still in the immature plumage. And when I read about it on Sibley and did some checking, they can hold on to that immature plumage into fe through February. And I said to him, it's still February. it's still in immature plumage. And he says, yeah, yeah, that's it. And then I had it. So that was Sunday. And then a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine in Cross Lake had sent me a picture, and it was an adult redhead at her feeders.
Oh, lovely.
And so they're moving around. They're looking for food, too.
The amount that it kind of, like, throws me off when they call them just redheads. I'm just picturing, like, you know, my friend from grad school, Julie.
Yes, yeah.
Who's just at the feeder. Redheaded woodpeckers.
Yeah.
Redheads.
You know, I loved listening to that and the excitement in both of their voices. And the explanation, you know, he said, I think he's, what did he say? Mesic forest, but then he
Mesic hardwood.
Mesic
yeah.
hardwood. He told us what those trees were and just this level of this. I'm feeling the need. I mentioned Song of the Lark. I feel the need. I looked it up. I need to tell you a couple more things about it. Okay. Cause
excellent. I please do.
Was, one of the things is it took place in Colorado, but it was based on her, where she grew up. In Nebraska. They are saying within this book, the symbol of the lark is a harbinger of light and new beginnings, linking Thea, the main character's singing voice, to the power of the bird's song to move and transform the listener. Thea had that same power, making her an extension of the bird in the title.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And if you think about it in phonology terms, the song of the lark is also the thing that breaks up winter and ushers in spring, right? In that, like, late Valentine's Day, late winter, early spring time.
Yeah. We would love to hear from you. We have this cool thing called the Speak Pipe. It's not just ours, and it shouldn't put a the before it. That's how old I am.
The Speak Pipe.
The Speak Pipe. But we'd love to hear from you, too. Maybe you read The Song of the Lark, or it has brought up other books that you've read and these connections. Look for it on our webpage and through the podcast platform and leave a voice memo for us. We'd love to hear from you.
Speak into the pipe. Do it.
That's going to become a meme. Okay, so we've got a little more, though, speaking of larks, right, from Pam?
Mm-hmm. We do. Thank you, Pam.
I went down looking for horned larks on the 14th. On Valentine's Day. That's a tradition for me. It's like the beginning of spring migration. And we saw, I think, 3 or 4 red tails on the 14th. Hmm. Now, it depends, you know, they're small rodent hunters. And so if there's deep snow, they go further south.
Right.
But with all the open fields and the farmland in Morrison County, they can be there. But it's also the migration. And I'm seeing some in Crow Wing County already, too. And usually they don't overwinter here. But I saw them, even a month ago in Crow Wing County.
Hmm.
What's happening right now, and that's why I love listening to Bob about the weather. And he says, oh, it's going to be up and down, up and down. But when we get those south winds, birds are moving. And we did find horned larks on the 14th. I haven't seen any in Crow Wing County yet, but I saw them in Morrison. I'm expecting to see them this week, next week at the latest, just depending, getting out and doing that. And so spring migration is starting, and I consider the 14th of February to be the beginning of spring migration.
A bit earlier than I would predict it for, especially for birds. But part of that is we are sort of a little too forested for the horned larks. I've seen them once or twice and maybe a few more times where I didn't realize what I was looking at. But once or twice I have actually seen little flocks of horned larks along the roads in late February, early March. Maybe you can sort of describe them for those listeners who either are unfamiliar or maybe live in an area where they might encounter them. So,
yeah, and they're not a forest bird. They're an open country bird. And Aiken County, with all the open areas there, is a good place to find them. But they're little brown birds. And they're called horned larks because they have this interesting face pattern. and with feathers that stick up that look like little tiny horns. That's dark, but it's a very interesting face pattern. And the main way to ID them is that they'll be along the roads at this time of year, early in the season, is that they're along the roadside picking up gravel, finding seeds, and you drive by and they fly out over the field. Their wings kind of do a flicking. They have pointed wings and it's flick, 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 flick out, and then they go and land in the field and they disappear and you can't see them. So that's the best way. And even on the 14th, we heard them singing. So they were setting up territories already. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's Morrison County. And that's why I go south, because most of Crow Wing County is too forested, more forested as well. And they just don't come up this way as early. They stay further south. So watch for those little birds that fly up when you drive by.
So cool to hear her excitement in Valentine's Day and her love of birds, for sure.
I know. What a wonderful Valentine's Day tradition. Go out, try to find the horned larks.
Yeah.
That song is just so beautiful. I don't think I'd heard it before I looked it up for this episode. And yeah, it gives really makes me feel the way I feel like when I'm listening to a wood thrush or a hermit thrush. Just gorgeous.
Well, of course, we were also hearing the melody of the voice of John Latimer within there,
yes,
our staff phonologist. And I was excited this week because he brought up one of those big science words that I did not understand.
He sure did. And introduced it to me, too.
Oh, really?
Yes. Anthocyanins. So we get to learn about that from John.
We're in winter. It's still February and it's cold out. Cooler out than other months, say July, for example. But this springtime is the time where the sun becomes more intense. It gets higher in the sky. It spends more time in the area. And as a result, certain things begin to happen. And among those things, among the plants that I have noticed that have reacted to increased sunlight are the dogwoods, the red osier dogwood in particular. Many, many, many of the willow species, and there are, I think, 18 species of willow shrubs that grow across the state of Minnesota. Not all of them in every area, but there are certainly, probably wherever you live within the sound of my voice, there are probably 9 or 10 different willow species within a few miles of your home. And many of those willows and the dogwoods are showing quite a bit of color right now. And today's daily dose of phenology dealt with the red osier dogwood and how bright it has become and does become this time of year. It's a reaction to increased sunlight, both the angle that it's striking the bush and the amount of time that the bush is receiving the sunlight. And for the red osier dogwoods, the reaction is created by anthocyanins in the bark. These anthocyanins are present in the plant as a sort of a sunscreen. It's a way for in the summertime, anthocyanins sort of take in those extra photons of energy coming from the sun and slow them down, keep the leaf from getting sunburned. And this time of year, those anthocyanins are present in the stem, in the bark, and right out near the surface. And they serve the same purpose, that is to sort of mitigate the sun, to kind of calm it. It's like sunscreen. And those anthocyanins, they're present in both the red osier dogwood and in most of the willows that are out there. Now, in the dogwoods, the color, the anthocyanins, the stem is red from ground level to the end of the branch. In the willows, most of the anthocyanins are in the most recent growth. So last year's new growth or 2 years ago's new growth, that new plant material has more anthocyanins than the older stuff in the willows. But the presence of the anthocyanins brought on by high ultraviolet light and abiotic stress, those anthocyanins begin to react to the sunlight and they increase in number and in color. And so as you're driving along this morning, keep an eye out for patches of bright red, which are probably red osier dogwood. But notice the willows as well. I was coming up from Minneapolis yesterday, and a lot of these big willow thickets, just the tops are these bands of gorgeous kind of reds or oranges or burgundies. They get kind of dark sometimes, but they're just beautiful. So dogwoods and willows, anthocyanins are really active there. The same thing is probably true in the birch branches, because in the last week or so, I've noticed that the paper birch branches are quite red. And in fact, I was out with some students, I guess it's been almost 2 weeks ago now, or nearly so, but the birches were bright red, and I'm standing across a playground, and in the background of the playground, far away in the woods, you could see all kinds of different trees, but the birches were red. And once I pointed it out to the students, I said, now I want you to point at a birch tree, not the one I've pointed out to you, but find another birch tree across this field and point to it. And boy, there was no problem. There, the birches are so red right now that viewed from afar, if you're looking across a lake or if you're looking across a football field, or in our case, we were looking across a couple of softball fields, the birches really jump out at you with those bright red branches.
Yeah, those burgundy birches, one of the best ways to tell them apart from aspens during the winter. You don't actually need to see their leaves to be able to tell them apart. You know that I love alliteration. Yeah. And for me, the mnemonic is aspens are all alabaster, birches, birch branches be burgundy.
Oh, nice. Do it again.
Aspens are all alabaster, birch branches be burgundy. So those are two like white barked trees. So if you see a white barked tree, just look at those very end twigs and branches. Mm-hmm. If they are dark in color or burgundy, it's a birch. If it's white, alabaster, it's an aspen.
I like it.
Yeah. Anthocyanins. What a great word. Found out that it's also the stuff that like turns grapes purple and blueberries. Those are all anthocyanins. They're great antioxidants. They're the reason why, like, you know, a glass of red wine is good for your heart, or like a little dark chocolate. It's due to anthocyanins.
Interesting.
So I don't know if you should go chew on a dogwood.
Right.
Probably isn't doctor recommended, but same compound.
And they're finding out lots of things about alcohol now. So, you know, not necessarily recommended, but yes, that makes some sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
All connected once again, Charlie.
Yep.
So you are more south than I am. What kind of signs of spring are you seeing right now?
Oh, it's all over right now. It's great. We're hearing the wacheer, wacheer, and the birdie, birdie, birdie from the Cardinals,
mm-hmm.
which I love. We're getting a lot of the cheeseburger from the chickadees. The snow is melting. You can definitely tell, like, when you're driving, one side of the road will be all still covered in snow. And then the other side of the road will be all bare, and it's due to the, if you ask John, of course, he'll start talking about aspect, which is the angle of a slope in relation to the sun. So all the south-facing slopes are getting a lot of sunlight and melting faster. I don't know, the energy of the birds at the bird feeder is just starting to feel a little different. They're getting more business-like, they're getting a little bit more, I don't know if cantankerous is probably an overstatement, but I don't know. There seems to be a different kind of energy in the air. And I think we're going to be tapping some trees this weekend. So,
oh, good.
For maple syrup. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Good to know. So that means We haven't quite figured out. I wonder how many days from when you get the run that we will get it at our house.
And it's also so dependent on weather, too.
I know.
But, I mean, according to John's calculations, he knows of this theorem called, like, oh, what is it? It's called Hopkins' Law, that spring moves north 10 miles and east 30 miles every day. Hmm. So it kind of moves in a diagonal across Minnesota. So it arrives first to the southwest corner and last to the northeast corner. And so he, like, with some DNR people, used that formula, put it on top of a map of the of Minnesota, because also every 100 feet in elevation moves you back a day. And then he checked that formula against what our students were seeing in our, like, phenology schools, and found that it lined up pretty darn well. And so, wow, according to that map, I'm about 2 weeks behind you.
Okay.
Or in front of you.
Right.
In the spring.
Right.
So.
Well, and, you know, it may, if we were to tap today, we might get a little something out, but it's not going to be a run. So, okay.
Yeah.
I'll be excited to know what happens this weekend when we check in next week.
Yeah, me too. And I'm interested to see if we've already missed part of the run, because we did have last week a good number of days that were below freezing at night and above freezing during the day, which is what you look for. But, you know, we don't want to hurt our trees by tapping too early. But I'll keep you posted. We'll see.
Well, we want to thank everybody involved in this week's program.
Absolutely. We got audio from, again, from Xenocanto, that website where people can contribute audio of any critters they might be hearing. So Michael Herbin, and Chuck Amos. Michael recorded the horned lark, and Chuck recorded the northern cardinal.
All right. And thanks to Pam Perry, John Latimer, and the students at Little Falls Elementary, as well as our funding from the
LCCMR, Environmental and Natural Resources Trust Fund.
Let's end today with the lovely sounds of the cardinal.
Yes, please.